From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. David passed that gloomy brook when flying with his mourning company from his traitor son. The man after God's own heart was not exempt from trouble. Nay, his life was full of it. He was both the Lord's anointed and the Lord's afflicted. Why then should we expect to escape? At sorrow's gates the noblest of our race have waited with ashes on their heads. Wherefore then should we complain, as though some strange thing had happened unto us? The King of Kings himself was not favored with a more cheerful or royal road. He passed over the filthy ditch of Kidron, through which the filth of Jerusalem flowed. God had one son without sin, but not a single child without the rod. It is a great joy to believe that Jesus has been tempted in all points like as we are. What is our Kidron this morning? Is it a faithless friend, a sad bereavement, a slanderous reproach, a dark foreboding? The King has passed over all these. Is it bodily pain, poverty, persecution, or contempt? Over each of these Kidrons, the King has gone before us. In all our afflictions, He was afflicted. The idea of strangeness in our trials must be banished at once and forever. For He who is the head of all saints knows by experience the grief which we think so peculiar. All the citizens of Zion must be free of the honorable company of mourners, of which the Prince Emmanuel is head and captain. Notwithstanding the abasement of David, he yet returned in triumph to his city, and David's Lord arose victorious from the grave. Let us then be of courage, for we also shall win the day. We shall yet with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation, though now for a season we have to pass by the noxious streams of sin and sorrow. Courage, soldiers of the cross! The King himself triumphed after going over Kidron, and so shall you.
Oh,
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message entitled, Five Great Certainties of Sovereign Grace, part of this series of studies in the book of Romans. The text is found in chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Paul began chapter 8 by declaring, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In verse 31, he asks a question, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is exploring the subject of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. The first truth is that God is for his people. Next, God delivered up Christ for us, and because of that, God justifies us. Then, Christ has performed a complete work of redemption for us that leaves nothing to be desired. Finally, because of that finished work, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. Now, Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Five Great Certainties of Sovereign Grace.
Every bit of the obedience of Christ is placed to my account. Now my legal standing before God is one that's absolutely different from before. It's a change that is irreversible. Notice clearly, what will we say to this? Whom he justified, he also glorified. None of the justified feel to be glorified. None of them. There's an absolute continuity there. What will we say to this? We will say God is for us. He delivered Christ up to death and judgment for us. And he justifies us in Christ. The Lord Jesus fulfilled a covenant of works. Do this and live. And it's one of the fundamental truths of the gospel. By the way, let me just have time to say this. Show you how far fundamentalism strays from preaching the fundamentals of the gospel, and how far The Reformed stray from preaching the fundamentals of the gospel, and how far evangelicals stray from preaching the fundamentals of the gospel. If I were to ask you, give me where the Bible gives you some of the fundamentals of the gospel, where would you turn? You'd have a hard job, you know. Just to clue you in, you could have a bit of a hard job. There are very few places where you have a list of doctrines and say, these are the fundamentals. When you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, you have great is the mystery of godliness or of piety. This is the mystery of the Christian religion. What are the fundamentals? Now, this is not an exhaustive list by any means. It's not intended to be. But here are some of the highlights. God was manifested in the flesh. That's the incarnation of the Son of God. And he was justified in or by the Spirit. There is a very deep sense in which it is a fundamental truth of the gospel that the man Jesus Christ was justified on the basis of the covenant of works. By his own absolute obedience, he was justified, declared just before God. Yet when last did you ever hear a preacher mention it? Never mind, preach on it. This is crucial to our justification, because we are justified in union with him. God doesn't lower the standards to let us into heaven. God does not abrogate the law. He does not soften the demands of the law. The law stands out in all the severity and all the thunderous power that's manifested at Sinai. God has not changed one bit of that. There have been no man accepted before God who is not declared righteous on the basis of the fulfillment of God's law to the absolute degree. But Jesus Christ was justified. He did obey it. And that law is a witness. But now, thank God, that righteousness is put to the account of all his people. He's the head, we're the body. What the head deserves, the body inherits. It's all for us. It's all for us. We have a perfect standing as people pardoned, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and accepted of God. Robed in Christ's perfection. What do we say to all this that Paul has been arguing? Well, God is for us. We say that he delivered Christ up to death for us. Thereby he justifies us. But when we focus on what Christ did, in verse 34, you'll find he performed a complete work for us. There are four elements in it, and I will simply enumerate them. I will not try to expound them. Notice what it says. Christ died. Yea, rather, he is risen again. He is even at the right hand of God. And fourth, he also maketh intercession for us. Here's the complete work of the perfect mediator. First work, substitution and atonement. He made a perfect atonement. He died. And he died for us. He died our substitute. He died to make satisfaction to God. He died to put away sin. By the sacrifice of himself, he died that in the shedding of his blood he would purchase eternal redemption. substitution and atonement. Then resurrection. Resurrection. Consider the absolute necessity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25. He was delivered for or on account of our offenses. He was raised again on account of our justification. What proves that Jesus Christ did all that he said he would do? What proves that his death was an atoning death? What proves that his righteousness is a justifying righteousness, that it actually introduces us to a new standing with God? What proves that he can save anybody? His resurrection from the dead. God raised him from the dead. That's what proves it. Resurrection. Ascension. What's the great importance and significance of the ascension of Christ into heaven? Some would-be scholarly critics and commentators, they say this didn't really happen, you know. They didn't actually go out to the Mount of Olives, and he didn't actually get caught up into heavens. I mean, we have sent aircraft up. We have sent Sputniks. Well, the Russians did that. The Americans have sent up their own craft all the way to the moon. We have sent things our way out into outer space. We know, well, first of all, a body couldn't go up. And after all, there's nowhere for it to go there. There's no heaven there. This didn't really happen. Poor, dumb idiots. There's no fool like an educated fool. How did it happen? I have no idea, any more than I have any idea how there was a virgin birth, or how 5,000 men were fed with 5 loaves, a couple of fish, or how water was turned into wine, or how at the word of Christ a dead man was brought to life. If I could tell you how he did his miracles, they wouldn't be miracles, would they? He ascended into heaven. What's the significance? Hebrews 6, he entered there as our forerunner. You see, for the first time ever, a man entered heaven because he personally deserved to be there. Jesus Christ, as Son of God, had access to the highest heaven because he's God. But when he entered into heaven, he entered as the one who had died and risen again. And entering into heaven, he did so, opening the door to bring in all the after-runners. His entrance guarantees our entrance. And then there's intercession. Here's something I think that we don't spend nearly enough time considering. What will we say to this? Christ is a perfect mediator. He's done a perfect work. And yes, he finished the work of purchasing redemption on Calvary. But it doesn't say he's finished working. He hasn't finished working. He's interceding. He's acting as our great high priest. He's appearing before God on our behalf. He is our advocate with the Father. He's taking up our cause. Sometimes when you feel all alone and you wonder what's happening in my life, what's happening with all the circumstances of life, what am I to make of all these things? Well, go back to what God says and look at what's happening through the lens of the gospel of grace and say, Christ is appearing before God for me. Right now. He's interceding for me. The old hymn took the thought of Isaiah the prophet. My name from the palms of his hands, eternity cannot erase. Can a mother forget her sucking child? Unfortunately, yes, she can. Mostly, a mother will never do that. Mostly, a mother would give her life for that child. But yes, a mother can forget her sucking child. But he says, I will never forget you. You are in the palms of my hands. Nothing will ever take you from there. He's interceding. The fifth great certainty of sovereign grace is this. What shall we say to these things? Ultimately, we can sum it all up in verse 35 through 39. God loves us with an unconquerable love. Now, I'm not going to go into those verses tonight. All I'll say about them is this, that here is everything that life and death, earth and hell, time and eternity can ever throw at a believer to seek to separate him from the love of God in Christ. And it all fails. Because God loves us with an unconquerable love. You remember that beautiful statement? I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you. I have loved you. Now let that sink in. That's the voice of God Almighty. And he's talking to you and he's talking to me. I have loved you. And the love that I have for you is an everlasting love. What will we say to these things? Well, this is what we'll say. This is how we respond to sovereign grace. It's how we reason from sovereign grace. We'll do a little bit more of that in the will of God next Sabbath evening. And it's how we reckon on sovereign grace. These are five certainties of sovereign grace. And these provide the lens through which we must look at life with its varied circumstances, its troubles, its trials, its ups and its downs. Look at everything through grace. Do not start reinterpreting grace as you look pervertedly at it through the lens of passing circumstances. Five certainties of sovereign grace. What shall we say to these things? This is what we'll say. Let's take our stand here, and you'll find that you're standing on solid ground. And you can say, standing in this ground, I shall never be moved. Never. Can't be moved as long as I'm standing on the certainties of divine grace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.